You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and the Dog Bowl in Berea. Mary Kay Cabot saying the Browns said under 50%, but still very much in the mix for Darrelle Revis. I don't think it's happening. I'm going to come out and say it. I'd be shocked.
As much as I'd like it to happen and how great it would look on Sundays here in Cleveland, I really hope it doesn't happen. You know, because I think it's, in some cases, as they talk about free agency as fool's gold, people overspend or pay. And I'm not trying to say Darrelle Revis is an A player. Probably got 2 years left in his prime, you know, before the decline starts at corner. Similar to the way Charles Woodson has kind of declined, but been very, you know, stagnant with where he's at. He hasn't significantly declined. But I just don't think it goes against everything that is the Browns' message on overspending. And I think we become to look very desperate in our belief in our young players and having them grow here.
What I would say is this. It's not fool's gold because you know he is that good.
Sure.
You know that he is that good. In my opinion, it is you look at the team building, you have a quarterback. If Johnny is the answer, if Johnny becomes that guy, you have him on a rookie deal for 4 more years because you have the option to pick up his fifth year as a first-round pick. So you have a quarterback way under market value for 4 seasons.
You've got $8 million tied up in quarterback a year between McCown, Shaw, and Johnny Manziel.
McCown wouldn't even be – if let's say that Johnny is your guy,
okay.
McCown's only here 1 year. So okay. Going forward – You have minimal money invested in the quarterback position. You'd have a ton at the cornerback position, but every other corner on your roster would be on a rookie deal. Gilbert, sure. Dazier, Kaywan Williams, Robert Nelson, not to mention you could draft another guy or whatever to kind of fill in.
So you got $3 million tied up in three guys.
Right. So you're going to have that money.
Yep.
It's a matter of just how you allocate it. You just think of Revis as being paid like your quarterback and, you know, Johnny and your quarterback's being paid like your other corner.
Yeah.
It's still expensive.
Sure.
But if you wanted to do it, you could do it. I just think you have to feel that you're like the Patriots where you're literally that piece away, and I don't think that the Browns feel that
right.
way. It's not about can we get to – if you sign Revis, it's saying, okay, yeah, we think we can get to 10-6 right here, you know, in 2015, maybe 2016 for 2 years, but then it could be a potential issue. Or, you know, is this a team trying to build for a Super Bowl, which is what we've heard over and over.
Right. And I guess for me personally, as you look at we're underpaying at quarterback, we're underpaying at running back, and right now we're still technically underpaying at wide receiver. We've got we're underpaying at tight end. This is an offensive league.
You
know,
need to get
and we have all of our money tied up in defense. So we didn't do the best. We were very good on defense, but we didn't stop a lot of teams running the football.
Because we couldn't stop the run.
And that's my point. So let's allocate some of those assets, you know, away from the defense to go solidify the offense and their ability to score and that defensive front. And that all being said is I'd be much more happy, and I'm sure half of Cleveland, and I know this free agent market and this draft is not the time to do it, but I'd rather give $18 million to a guy that has proven themselves as a quarterback hits free agency and give that guy $18 million a year for the next 5 years to know you've got your guy at quarterback because he,
sure.
to me, is the guy
difference.
That's going to get you where you need to go, not necessarily another shutdown corner.
I'm going to tell you what I would do. I believe...
Tell me what you're going to do.
I believe that we're fine at corner. I believe in Gilbert and Dazier to start opposite Joe
that's
Hayden.
Why I don't
I
like
think
this
we get,
a whole lot.
I don't want it. I'd rather, if you have $18 million, I'd rather split that up between Charles Clay, Jason Worlds to be your 3-4 pass rusher, and maybe you have a little bit of money left over to get Dan Williams to come in and play nose tackle for you, and you've added three starters and three plus level starters
or
to your
Beau
team.
Or shorts sure. on a 1 year, 2 year prove it deal.
Sure. I'd rather get more assets. This is a team
absolutely.
That's not just a Revis away.
And I think that everything that you just talked about is the mentality of Ray Farmer in building this roster.
That's why
it's not going all in with $18 million on one player.
I'd be flabbergasted.
Yes, me too.
Flabbergasted, word of the day. 216-578-0850.
Spell it.
Free agency in full swing. What are you thinking about right now for the Cleveland Browns? What are you looking for? What are you hoping for? And certainly some people like the Hartline signing, but I agree with those of you who say that is not it at wide receiver. I agree with that. I think you've got to go ahead and get that number one guy, whether it be in the draft, whether or even bringing another guy to compete at the number two spot for you because it's about playmakers and you got to get that tight end. It's about getting those guys on offense that can help. I know we're going to run the football. I know Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West are going to be poised for very, very big seasons running the football. But this team does need some weapons in the passing game.
That's I had an opportunity to talk to Isaiah Crowell very, very briefly before he signed from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And he did, quote unquote, say he wants 1,000 yards.
I think he wants 2,000 yards. And I think
Running back wants 2,000 yards.
For sure, but talking
to
Wilbert Montgomery.
Let's get one first.
Wilbert Montgomery is already fostering this competition between Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West. Both of those guys, and Crow, I don't know if you had an opportunity to talk about this, he just feels so much more comfortable entering his second year about what it means to be a running back in the NFL. The timing, the reads. He's been working on keeping his feet. That was something he got a little bit too much lean because he was trying to keep his shoulders pads low. Getting too much lean and falling down at times. He did that
absolutely
last year.
And he actually alluded to something similar to that. He said he's excited to get back, learn the new system, so much so that he could actually teach it to someone else. So if we added a younger running back and he's relied on or winning that contest is getting a lot of the reps, that he could help, whether it be Terrence West or Robert Nelson or somebody else, you know, in that room to potentially, you know, learn the system.
Let's go to Troy in Zanesville now, joining us on the phone. Troy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
With this Revis thing, I really don't think it's too far-fetched. I mean, for one, he signed with Tampa for money. Two, he got his ring last year. Now, three, he's on his tail end of his career. I'm just wondering how much left he still has in the tank.
Oh, he can play.
He's going to be looking for probably another his last big contract. So I don't think it's going to be far-fetched, and we got the money to spend it.
I don't think that it's far-fetched that the Browns could put together an offer for Revis that he would not refuse. I think it's far-fetched, given what I believe to understand about the Browns' philosophy in team building, that they would make Revis that kind of an offer that he could not refuse at this point in the team's development. Do you understand the difference? That's what I think. That's what I think. I think it's more about would the Browns – I know they're interested and we're hearing that. I don't know how much I believe that we're interested. I think that it could be, again, a smoke and mirrors thing. But to me, I don't see why you would put that much in there when you could bring in multiple pieces. Now, he's a sure thing. He's not fool's gold.
Correct.
He's immediately – you're going to get a bang for your buck. I don't know if the Browns are at the point where they think one player at $18 million is the kind of bang for the buck that they need when that one player is not a quarterback.
You're right. And also, too, is I think that if you pay him that money, that is an all-in, win-now personality for this organization. It is. Because you have to get that top-level production from Darrell Revis this year and next year, which you will.
If he's healthy.
But sure. I think also, too, is there's got to be spending other places. Otherwise, you have the best defensive backfield in all of football, and you can't score offensively.
Right, right. And you want to be able to score. Now, if you go back to the days of the Jets with Rex Ryan and Mike Pettine, that's what they did. They played the defense, and they didn't necessarily score the football at a record level. They had Mark Sanchez. They didn't throw the football as well. I hope that we certainly do get an opportunity, though, to get that number one receiver. Devontae Parker, to me, would look great on this team, and I hope that's the direction the Browns go. 12. I don't know if he's going to make it 12. I think it could end up being with just the way that the wacky NFL works, that a guy who's just super smooth and excellent at everything he does, but it doesn't have that one unbelievable wild trait. Amari Cooper could be the one that falls to 12. There's some thinking that Parker's actually going to go ahead of Cooper, and White's going to be the number one receiver, which would be a great fit for the Browns.
It would be a great fit for the Browns. And like you said, what, Torrey Holt-esque?
Yes.
And Torrey Holt was extremely productive for many years in St. Louis. And I think also, too, is he fits the mold of the Browns, you know, to make him a number one, let him grow into that role. That means you have potentially Hartline, Hawkins, and Cooper starting, and all of them could go easily for 50 catches, you know, and 700 yards. To not have one, you know, be that much better than the other, because they're all going to understand their role specifically. I don't think Amari Cooper's that guy, that big deep ball threat that's going to go down the field.
He's faster and bigger than people realize.
I know he is, but it's like when it comes to Devontae Parker and Kevin White, he's third out of those three.
Just in physical.
Correct.
Straight physical traits, but in terms of gifts, the man has got many of them. Certainly would like to see the Browns do that. It's free agency nears. The Browns not linked to a lot of stuff. Now, nobody's been linked to Dan Williams, a nose tackle out of Arizona that I certainly think would be a tremendous fit for this team, would immediately come in and solidify that offensive line, give them flexibility if they did go wide receiver defense with the first two picks, give them flexibility to go pass rusher or another guy on the defensive line. It would give them that kind of flexibility because you'd pen him in as your starter immediately as long as he was healthy. So to me, that is something that I would hopefully see happen for the Browns. Dan Williams would be somebody at the top of my list or Kenrick Ellis even, who played with the Jets, who actually says there's a market of 7 teams that are interested in him because he's cheap, but people believe he has the talent. He was just buried behind Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson with the Jets. Jason Ikeforre is saying, wouldn't be surprised Super Bowl champs found good value plays in Arakpo, Helu, and Percy Harvin, depending on the Revis outcome. That would be very interesting there. Again, Shane Vereen. Sugar Shane, one of my favorite pass-catching backs in the NFL, going to the Giants. That offense, I think, is going to be very good under McAdoo and company. Eli Manning and the Giants with now Odell Beckham, Victor Cruz coming back. They've got Reuben Randall. Now they've got Larry Donnell at tight end. They bring in Rashad Jennings at running back last year. They draft Andre Williams. Now they've got Shane Vereen. A good mix there in that offense. It's looking very, very good right now out there for the New York Football Giants. All right, when we come back, number two, the second hour of this show, will be with you. We're going to kick things up going down to Miami and hearing about Brian Hartline. That's right, we're going to hear from Brian Hartline, and we talked to Ken Lavica, Dolphins beat reporter for ESPN 106.3 in West Palm Beach. He'll be back right after this.